Taking control of and improving your health requires the most relevant and timely health information available. And University Medical Center is here to help with facts and advice about important health topics that you care about. We know that your health matters. I'm Dr. Richard Friend, and today we hear about children's mental health during COVID from Dr. Marissa Gigi, a child and adolescent psychiatrist at University Medical Center. Dr. Gigi discusses how isolation and uncertainty has left children with a tough time coping emotionally, and she provides some guidance for parents. Welcome to Health Matters with your host, Mike Royer.
Welcome into another segment of Health Matters. My name is Mike Royer. We're joined today by Dr. Marissa Gigi, a psychiatrist at University Medical Center here at the University of Alabama. Dr. Gigi, it's good to see you again.
Oh, thank you. It's great to see you.
We're going to talk about COVID for some time to come, and I know it's affected all of your patients and folks that you deal with today, talking specifically about young people. We couldn't talk about what they were going to face before COVID hit because we didn't know what we were all going to face. What has been some of the general things you found, the general challenges you found for your younger adolescent and children patients through this year-long battle we've been in?
Well, the most common thing I've seen is the anxiety and stress around not being able to go to school. Mm. Virtual school has been a challenge for many children, accessing technology and actually getting their instruction. So there's a lot of academic frustration and anxiety over missing out on what they normally would be getting in school. They also are missing out on their peers and the social interaction, which is so important. And so many of them feel like they have lost out on a year of socialization, making friends, experiences that they would normally have at school. So the social aspects of missing out with their peers at school and the academics have been very stressful for kids.
There's been ongoing discussion, at times debate, about whether kids are safer at home, away from everyone, or if in fact being away from school is a worse scenario for young people. Not being in that normal environment in school, whatever your views are medically, is a loss to a child, isn't it?
It is. It's been difficult and challenging for them. And if they already have mental health problems, if they don't have supports at home, it's going to make those mental health challenges more severe. And that's what we're seeing.
I want to follow up more on that. But first, what about young children, children in general, who don't have any mental challenges, no issues that they're having to deal with? This kind of a year can create anxiety, certainly. I remember as a child, a world event, giving away my age, but the Cuban Missile Crisis, mm-hmm. the assassination of a president, stressed me, and I would not sleep well, and I'd want to be near my parents. I would imagine a year like this, where every day the news is concerning, mm-hmm. can be a challenge for young people.
It certainly is, and a lot depends on how the family responds to it. Mm. So if the family responds with a lot of anxiety, the children will also be more likely to respond with a high degree of anxiety. Mm-hmm. But we do notice that kids are more worried about people in their families getting sick.
Yep.
They have a lot of fear of the unknown. On the positive side, though, children are resilient. And so one way I'm thinking about this year is it's almost as if they were a year lost to, say, if we were in a war and kids couldn't go to school. Mm-hmm. I think they'll be able to bounce back. Kids that are already healthy, it's just going to take some time for them to catch up on some of their academics over the summer, mm-hmm. and some extra instruction. But kids are pretty resilient, and I'm hopeful that they'll be able to catch up from where they left off.
In general terms, what additional challenges do your patients that you deal with of this age group, what challenges are exacerbated by COVID? Is the problem that they have already made worse, or do they kind of begin to deal with other things they hadn't dealt with before?
Well, for most of the kids, they actually either get worse or they maintain the same mm-hmm. level mm-hmm. if they can access their services. Right now, we're doing most of our services via telemedicine, so that's a challenge. So if there's a problem, it can be difficult to see on the video. So telemedicine has its benefits, but it can also have its challenges.
Sure.
So for children who are already suffering and dealing with mental health problems, it can be difficult to actually get their needs relayed across a video screen because you're dealing with two or three people, say two parents or a yeah. parent and a sibling and a young child, and it's hard to capture that in the video versus having them in your office where you can address it face to face.
We can't bring our camera into your office when you're with a patient. That's so private, we could never do that. But Give us a peek inside your office. A 12-year-old boy or a 12-year-old girl that says to you, I'm afraid of this COVID thing I'm hearing about. I'm afraid my mom and dad will get it. I'm afraid I might get it. I'm not sleeping well. I'm worried about it. What do you begin with your conversation with that child?
Well, the most important thing is to allow them to have a safe space to talk about their fears without being criticized and dismissed. So my office, it looks like just a really nice, comfortable space. It doesn't look like a medical office. I have toys, I have a couch, a comfortable chair, big fun pillows. So I want the kids to feel comfortable there. And that way they can talk to me about how they're feeling with no judgment, so that they can talk to me knowing that what they talk about is not going to be questioned, and that they have a place to talk about their problems without being criticized or judged. And that's private, so that they know it's confidential, that I'm not going to go tell their parents unless they want me to.
In fact, that is total. Children need to understand that, that they're talking to their doctor, and you don't repeat anything they say without them knowing that. And that's a very important thing to a child or to anyone, isn't it?
Absolutely. They need to know that it's a safe space, that it's a non-judgmental place where they can talk about how they're feeling without getting in trouble.
Yeah.
Children are often, especially younger children, they go to the doctor and they think they've done something wrong. But they, I tell them, you're not a bad kid. You haven't done anything wrong. We're here to help you, and I want to listen to what you're feeling. And it needs to be a safe place for them to feel like they can talk about what they're feeling and what's going on inside of their head.
You touched on it, but the, I imagine about the worst thing you could do would be dismiss their concerns, go, oh, it's silly to worry about that. You shouldn't worry about that. You would never tell a child that.
No, no, absolutely not.
They need to know that it's okay to be concerned, and they maybe they should be concerned. Now we'll deal with that.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right.
What's your best advice for parents watching this interview with you? If they see stress in their child, but they don't feel it's to the level where they need professional help, would you suggest to parents that they kind of do what you do in a more amateur way, but listen to their child and encourage them?
Absolutely, absolutely. Not to dismiss their fears and their concerns, because anxiety is probably the biggest issue mentally that I'm seeing amongst children during this COVID crisis. I also wanted to mention that since March of 2020, the data in emergency rooms has shown that there's been a 25% increase in psychiatric emergencies for children and adolescents that we're attributing directly to the COVID crisis, because we didn't see that large number of children going in for psychiatric emergencies of all types in the emergency rooms. And this is a national trend. So sometimes parents don't know what to do. They get overwhelmed, and so they'll take them to the emergency room. And that's sort of a crisis response.
25% is not a little bump. That's a major spike and major concern.
It is a major concern for children.
Yes.
Since March of 2020.
I'll make this my last question. What should parents be on the lookout for, caregivers be on the lookout for, when a child doesn't just need a little encouragement at home, but might need to come see you or another professional to deal with their anxieties?
The biggest thing is to see if there's a major change in their behavior. Are they isolating more? Are they saying that they want to hurt themselves? Are they stopping to eat? Are they not sleeping well? So look at their behaviors, and then also ask them, how are you doing? How are you feeling? You'd be surprised, a lot of parents are afraid to ask those questions of their children. So just to ask them, most children will tell you how they're feeling, and then also to look at their behaviors.
Dr. Marisa Gigi, thank you so much for your expertise, your time today. The next time we talk to you, we'll talk about this subject, but for the general population, middle-aged folks and older folks too. Thank you again for your time.
Sure.
To learn more from us about these and other important health topics, visit umc.ua.edu. And for all your primary health care needs, visit University Medical Center, with locations in Tuscaloosa, Northport, Demopolis, and Fayette.